Let's talk about showing appreciation, care, and respect. This is by Sharon Wieben. She's the vice president of Delta Airlines. She said, "I knew I had to bridge the gap among the flight attendants and me. I was committed to meet with each of the 20,000 flight attendants. I held 52 different sessions throughout the country and just put myself out there. I wanted to communicate our vision. I wanted them to be able to have an open dialogue with me. I wanted them to be able to ask any question they wanted. I wanted them to get to know me as their leader. I wanted them to know what they could expect from me, and I wanted them to know what I expected of them. I also shared my observations from all that I had experienced. Some of these meetings were tough, but the critical point was we got connected." Let's talk about great leaders, great companies. The World Trade Center attack on September 11, 2001 initiated a period that will be recorded, of course, in U.S. history as tremendously challenging for organizations and people around the world. The travel industry was hit the hardest. Southwest Airlines, well known and respected in the industry for exemplary financial performance, was one of the few airlines that chose to stay firm in its principles and did not lay off any employees during that time. Well, the authors of Heart-Centered Leadership talked to a mechanic who worked for Southwest and asked him why Southwest didn't lay off staff during this time. He said, quote, "Southwest would park a plane before they'd lay an employee off," close quote. Now, you must understand what a significant statement that is. First, in the airline industry, parking a plane represents a tremendous loss of volume. Second, this associate had deeply internalized his belief in the culture of this organization. He really understood the company's principles. These principles did not just appear on a fancy poster in the hallway of the company's headquarters. You simply can't buy loyalty like that. The vision, mission, guiding principles are supposed to be the lighthouse for the organization. All organizations, they should guide you through good and through hard times. You know, heart-centered leaders are willing to let go of or set aside certain policies and timelines to honor, respect, and care for associate relationships, as well as their own health and well-being. This doesn't mean that policies and procedures fall apart or are neglected. Rather, the heart-centered leader has complete faith in the power of people and rests his or her work on this faith. Through this faith in the heart and one's own heart space, there is a simultaneous or synchronistic increase in productivity, customer service, and profits. No one is more important than the other, and the leader is very involved and part of the process. And that's from Heart-Centered Leadership, page 137. You know, David Neeleman, CEO of JetBlue, this is a wonderful, exemplary leader. He believes the airlines have to make a personal connection with each one of their passengers. That's the only chance, he says, that airlines have to survive. He does that himself by flying his airline once a week, checking in with customers, checking up on his crew. Quote, "I hope you realize we're trying a little harder than the other airlines to treat our customers well," close quote, is what Neeleman said to passengers on one of his flights. And that's from a CBS News. You know, I heard a story about David Neeleman. He goes like this. One day he went to Subway and bought hundreds of sandwiches and took them to his mechanics in a great big plane hangar where they were working on the big jets. This is the CEO of JetBlue bringing Subway sandwiches to his mechanics. Why? Because he said, "I want to go have lunch with them and just talk to them about what's working and what's not working." Well, let's talk about our children. How often do we ask them what's working, what's not working? We need to be the kind of parent that our children will respect. And again, I talked about deposits and withdrawals, but we need to show them unequivocally that we love them, that we care, that we might disagree with their behavior, but we'll always love them. We need to respect them, talk to them with respect, treat them respectfully. Because the way they treat us is the exact way that we treat them. They mirror what we do. Talk about modeling. Children are absolute experts at this. Let's talk about creating a positive atmosphere. John D. Rockefeller said, "I will pay more for the ability to deal with people than for any other commodity under the sun," close quote. And Erwin Fetterman said, "People love others not for who they are, but for how they make us feel." Every day, Tom Holmes, he's a manager at an Atlanta fast food restaurant, makes a point to personally greet each one of his 30 employees and say, "Thanks for coming in today." No employee can leave at night without stopping by Tom's office so he can look them in the eye and say, "Thanks for your hard work today. It really meant a lot." Each Friday, Tom places a personalized note in each employee's paycheck. Thanks for sticking around the extra 30 minutes on Tuesday, Dave. Or, "Thanks for taking care of the customer who spilled a soft drink, Anna." Or, "Thanks for offering to help out with the drive-thru this week, Carlos." These aren't easy practices. They take time. But as his peers struggle with 250% staff turnover each year, Tom's annual turnover hovers around 80%. Not perfect, but as Tom is the first to tell you, incredible in the labor market where employees are impossible to find, the average tenure for most entry-level jobs is less than 6 months, and teen workers quit unexpectedly because of last-minute tickets to a rock concert. But Tom knows that working in fast food is tiring, undervalued, and frequently unappreciated. He knows that his employees can't be counted on to remain enthusiastic about their work unless he finds ways to refresh their spirits. Therefore, he makes it a priority to find ways to uplift his employees so that they're less exhausted at the end of the day and willing to show up tomorrow. This means finding ways to appreciate the small things. It means finding ways to say thanks, to celebrate, to have fun, and to recognize his employees' efforts, no matter how small. And when we were talking about positive communication, we talked about the importance of recognizing and appreciating our children's efforts, every chance we get, how very important that positive reinforcement is. It's just like you to be so obedient. You always obey the first time. I sure like the way that you're so organized, honey. I like the way you get your work done on time. It's just like you to be so honest. Whatever is the value that you want them to exemplify, tell them you appreciate them exemplifying that. Even if it's a little bit of a stretch, because they'll become who you tell them they are. Creating a positive atmosphere means lots of hugs, means lots of winks and pats and smiles. It means praise. It means just sharing your heart. Now may each of us be blessed in our efforts to follow these five principles that will powerfully strengthen our families and our businesses, building loyalty and unity, communicating positively, modeling and nurturing, showing appreciation, care, and respect, and creating a positive atmosphere. This has been Dr. Paula Fellingham. Have a wonderful day.